بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم صلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. وبعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، we thank Almighty Allah for making it possible for us to continue our study in Bulughul Maram after a short break. For the past 2 weeks, I have not been able to make it due to circumstances beyond my control. May Allah ease our fears. In our last class of Bulughul Maram, the last hadith we treated was the hadith of Abdullah bin Abi Awfa رضي الله تعالى عنه. يعني said, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أتاه قوم بصدقته قال اللهم صل عليهم. He said the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, whenever people bring their zakat to him, he would say, may Allah bless it for them. That was the last hadith we treated. Now, so inshallah تعالى, today we shall continue from the next hadith, which is hadith of Ali رضي الله تعالى عنه. أن العباس سأل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في تعجيل صدقته قبل أن تحل. Ali ibn Abi Talib reported that Al-Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet, sought the permission of the Prophet to pay his zakat before it becomes due. That's the meaning of تعجيل الصدقة قبل أن تحل. To pay his zakat before its due date. فرخص له في ذلك. So the Prophet gave him that permission. رواه الترمذي والحاكم. It was reported by Imam al-Tirmidhi and Imam al-Hakim. What this hadith indicates is that, like we said, the zakat becomes obligatory upon a person's wealth when that wealth has reached the nisab. Alright, when it has reached the nisab. Then, after it has reached the nisab, 1 year must pass on that nisab without it reducing from the nisab. Okay, like we mentioned last time, the nisab for money, okay, if it is measured in gold, currently it's around 15.5 million. Okay, it's around 15.5 million. Okay, fluctuate. Now, for zakat to become due on your money, you must have this amount of money. So let's assume that you own this amount of money in this month. Also, mind you, I want to talk about 1 year passing by. We're talking about the lunar month, that's the Islamic month, not the Gregorian calendar. Okay, so currently we are in the month of, which month now? Muharram, right? We're in Muharram 1448. Okay, so we're in Muharram 1448. So let's assume that in this Muharram you own, let's say, 20 million. Okay, 20 million naira already is above the nisab, isn't it? Alright, so from now till Muharram of next year, okay, if your money does not drop below the nisab, that is when you will now be required to pay zakat, isn't it? Now, what this hadith is telling us is that Al-Abbas sought the permission of the Prophet to pay his zakat before its due date. So let's say Al-Abbas got the money this month, Muharram, he is supposed to pay his zakat next year, 1449 Muharram. He now decides to pay it, let's say, in the month of Ramadan. As many of our wealthy people used to do, a lot of them prefer to give out their zakat in the month of Ramadan. Even though it's possible, it's very likely that the due date of their zakat may not have reached in the month of Ramadan. But because we all know that the month of Ramadan is a blessed month, even if it's the month in which acts of worship, the reward for them are multiplied. So a person may choose to give out the zakat in Ramadan before Muharram comes. Okay, so if a person chooses to do so, based on this hadith, we say that it is permissible. Okay, so it is permissible to pay the zakat before it due date. Okay, now it's permissible. However, like I said, the nisab must have been completed. Okay, if your money has not reached the nisab, and you decide to give out zakat before the money didn't reach the nisab, then this is not permissible. But what you are giving out will not be considered as zakat. It will be considered as sadaqah. Okay, so zakat only becomes obligatory when the money has reached the threshold, that is the required nisab. So that is what this hadith indicates. in that hadith, وعن جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله تعالى عنهما. Jabir bin Abdullah may Allah be pleased with him and his father, narrated and Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم from the messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Kala, he said, the Prophet said, ليس فيما دون خمس أواج من الورق صدقة. The Prophet said, there is no zakat in any money that is less than 200 dirhams. Okay? In the hadith, خمس أواج. The word أواج is the plural of the word أوكية. When you say أوكية, it means 40 dirhams. Okay, Uqiyya means 40 dirhams. So when the Prophet says Khamsi Awakin, it means 5 Uqiyyas. Okay, so if Uqiyya is 40 dirhams, 40 times 5 will give you how much? 200 dirhams. I will say dirham is silver money. That's why I said Awakin means al-wari. The word wari there means silver. Okay, now. So Khamsi Awakin means al-wari. Okay, so there will be no zakat on any money that is less than 200 dirhams of silver money. Okay, we have discussed this in our previous lesson. Okay, we said that the zakat, in the olden days, money from silver is called dirham. Money from gold is called dinar. Alright, dinar. So we said the nisab for dirham is 200 dirhams. But the nisab for dinar is 20 dinars. Ishruna dinar. Okay? So that is if it is money. But if it is in coin or the raw silver itself. Okay, so if you are in the zakat will be 595 grams. Okay, and if it is raw gold, it will be 85 grams. We already explained this in our previous class. So if it is less than the nisab is 200 dirhams. If it is less, there will be no zakat. Said, وَلَيْسَ فِيمَا دُونَ خَمْسِ زَوْدٍ مِنَ الْإِبِلِ صَدَقَةٌ. Likewise, there is no zakat on any animal less than 5 camels. خَمْسِ زَوْدٍ. The word زَوْد refers to group of camels. Okay, so the Prophet is saying, خَمْسِ زَوْدٍ مِنَ الْإِبِلِ. 5 camels, there will be no zakat. We already explained in our previous classes also that the nisab for camel, if you are rearing camel, the zakat will be due when you have up to 5 camels. And when you have up to 5 camels, what you are going to give up is what? It's 1 sheep. Isn't it? 1 sheep. Okay? So it will continue like that till your camels get to 10. If it is 10 camels, you give us 2 sheep. And when it is 15, you give us 3. 3 sheep. When it is 20 camels, you give us 4 sheep. Alright? If you consider that when your camels reach 25, that is when you start giving out zakat from the camel itself. And what you are going to give out is going to be what? Bintu Mahab, which we say is a 1-year-old she camel. That is Bintu Mahab. And we went ahead to discuss the various nisab for the various numbers of zakat, of various number of camels. All this was discussed then in our previous class. What is new in this hadith is this last statement of the hadith where he says, وَلَيْسَ فِيمَا دُونَ خَمْسَةِ أَوْسُكٍ مِنَ التَّمْرِ صَدَقَةٌ. The Prophet said, there will be no zakat on anything less than 5 weeks. The word أَوْسُك is the plural of الْوِيك. الْوِيك means 60 fa'a. Okay? You know fa'a? One fa'a is 4 mudunadi. One fa'a is what? 4 mudunadi. So 60 fa'a is called al-wik. So when the Prophet said, come set the house shooting, that is 60 in 5 places. That would mean 300 fa'a. Okay? So the Prophet is saying that there will be no zakat on a farm produce. If you farm, mean a tamari, farm date. Alright? If the date is less than 300 fa'a, then there will be no zakat in it. So this last part of the hadith is talking about the zakat for farm produce. Okay, it's talking about the zakat for farm produce. And it is telling us that the nisab is 300 fa'a. Okay, so when you farm rice or anything, okay, grain. Let's take the next hadith first. I'll explain everything together. He said, Wallahu, this is Rawahu Muslim. This one was reported by Imam Muslim. Wallahu min hadith Abi Sa'id. Imam Muslim also narrated from the hadith of Abu Sa'id. The Prophet said, لَيْسَ فِيمَا دُونَ خَمْسَةِ أَوْسَاكٍ مِنْ تَمْرٍ وَلَا حَبِّنْ صَدَقَةٌ. The Prophet said, there shall be no zakat on anything less than 5 weeks, which we say equals to 300 fa'a, of date, وَلَا حَبِّنْ or grain. okay, there will be no zakat on anything less than that. So when we combine these two hadith together, what we can bring out is this. Number one, the zakat for farm produce, okay, what you farm, is to be given out after harvest. Now, take note that unlike other items in which you have to wait for 1 year after your item, after the well has reached the result, for the farm produce, you don't wait for 1 year. You don't wait for 1 year. You pay out the zakat after harvest. Okay, you don't have to keep it in after 1 year. Usually when you harvest and you dry it and you remove the bark, alright, of the seed, that's why you now give out the zakat. Okay, if it will be given, it will be difficult for you to remove the bark, or you don't intend to keep, you intend to sell, you have to bring somebody who has experience in it and can be able to quantify it and know that when the bark is removed, this is what it will amount to. You know, for instance, if you farm rice, alright, and you harvest it with that bark on it, if let's say you have 20 bark, by the time you dry it and remove the bark, it will reduce. It will no longer be 20 bark. I won't go over that. So that's why you need to bring an expert. If you don't intend to keep it, you intend to sell and dispose immediately. Okay, so after you have harvested, the Sharia will not force you to go and process and remove the bark. You can still calculate the nisab from it like that and give out. So you need to get somebody who has an experience and can be able to tell that this number of bark that you have will be up to 300 bark. Once it is up to 300 bar and above, that is when you give out zakat for farm produce. Do we understand? That is one. Secondly, as the hadith said, alright, the Prophet mentioned camel. He also mentioned hab, which you say is grain. Alright, scholars say that what we deduce from this is that zakat for farm produce are for those items, those produce that we consume as food. Okay, so it has to be food items. That's one, that's two. Then number three, it must be food items that are measurable. That's why it mentioned tamur and half grain. Measure the ones that you can measure with mudu. That's how you can be able to measure 50 pa, isn't it? So that means that there will be no zakat on tuba, like yam. Alright, somebody who harvests yam, there's no zakat on it. Somebody who harvests potato, there will be no zakat on it. Somebody who harvests cassava, there will be no zakat. Alright? It has to be on measurable food items like rice, like beans, like corn, maize, guinea corn, you know, millet, wheat, things like this. Okay, these are the things that we can measure and be able to bring out 60 bar or 300 bar, okay, and above. Okay, so it has to be grain. Then the Prophet mentioned tamur. Tamur, you know, tamur is not a grain. Tamur, that is a date, that is fruit. Alright, so that would mean that there can be zakat on some fruit, okay, but it must be fruit that can be dried and stored for long, okay. There is no zakat on perishable items, like mango, orange, you know, potato, what do you call it? Cucumber, watermelon, things like this, all orange, mango, all these are perishable goods. You cannot store them for a very long time, okay. So that's why all these ones, there is no zakat on them. The food item must be food that you consume, it must be measurable with mudu, then it must be possible for you to store and preserve them for a long time. Okay, so there is no zakat on perishable items like tomato or whatever. Okay, perishable items, there is no zakat on them. Then it must be up to the nisab, like I said, it must be up to the nisab. Once these conditions are fulfilled, then there will be zakat on that farm produce. Okay, there will be zakat on that farm. We say, wa aslu hadith Abi Sa'id muntafaqun alayh. The origin of the hadith of Abu Sa'id is agreed upon. So we have explained the nisab. We said the nisab is 300 sa'a and above. Alright, 300 sa'a and above. Now, so if what you have vested is up to 300 sa'a, so what is the quantity to give out? Do you understand? What will now be the quantity to give out? Remember, what we talk about money. We said the nisab is 15 point something million. What is the quantity to give out? You divide it over 40, isn't it? It's going to be 1 over 40. So, in the case of farm produce, if the nisab is 300 sa'a and above, let's say you have vested 50 bar, alright, or 100, depending. So, what quantity are you now going to give out? The next hadith explains that. It says, wa an Salim bin Abdullah. وعن سالم بن عبد الله عن أبيه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال للبروفيت سيد فيما سقط السماء والعيون أو كان عثريا العشر. The Prophet said, whatever is watered, sakatis sama, whatever is watered by sama, sama here refers to rain. Okay, so any farm produce, that is, if the farm is watered by rain, meaning you did not bear any extra cost in bringing water to the farm, you didn't bear any extra cost or any extra effort, okay, you just planted and you waited because rainy season, the rain watered it up till when it became ripe and you harvested. So for farm produce that is watered by rain, well, uyun refers to spring. Okay, so if, let's say for instance, the place of the farm is close to a river, so that you can simply make a channel and the water will just flow into the farm, alright, and water it, you don't have to do any extra effort. And that is uyun. Aw kana athariyan, or the type of crop you planted is such that it can soak water from its root. That's mean of athariyan. Alright, if the place is a waterlogged area, such that the plant itself by its root it can draw water and soak it, so that you don't need to steal water in, by that alone is enough for it. So if these are the conditions, then what you are going to give now, what you are going to give out as zakat is al-ushur. Al-ushur is 1/10. Okay? Al-ushur is what? 1/10. So that means if let's say you harvested 50 bar, alright, you harvested 50 bar, what would be 1/10 of 50 bar? Huh? 5 bar? Huh? So it means that the zakat to be given out is 5 bar. Alright, it will be 5 bar. So that's it. So long as you did not incur any extra cost or effort in taking water to the farm, you simply relied on rainfall or spring water, alright, or the plant soaked water by its root, then after harvest you are going to give out 1/10 if it is up to the nifas. Now say wafima sukiya bin nabhi, and that which was watered by irrigation. In this case now, let's say it's dry season farming, alright, in fact that there's no water, alright, you have to do irrigation, you have to put pipe, put the pumping machine and pump water to the farm. This one now, you have incurred extra cost and extra effort. Because of that, the Sharia says that it's going to lessen your burden by saying of the masuki have been not me, need for the issues. Alright, what was watered by irrigation, you will pay half of 1/10. That will be 1/20. Do we understand? That will be 1/20. So that is how you give out zakat for farm produce. Now, so if you farm 50 bar, alright, and you're going to give out 1/20 now, that will be like 2.5 bar, isn't it? Because 1/10 is 5 bar. So half of that again will now be 2.5 bar. So that shows you the leniency and simplicity of the Sharia. Alright, la yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha. Sharia does not put a burden on you beyond what you can bear. For the fact that you incur extra cost, the Sharia decides to reduce it, to reduce what you are going to give out as zakat. It says, Rawahu al-Bukhari, this hadith was reported by Imam Bukhari. Wa li Abi Dawud, in the version of Imam Abu Dawud, the Prophet said, Aw kana ba'lan al-ushur, meaning the farm was watered by ba'lan. Ba'lan is simply as athariyan, meaning the plant soaked water by its root. Okay, so the word ba'lan and athariyan in the previous version means the same. So if the plant soaked water by its root, then you give al-ushur, which is 1/10. Wafima sukiya bisawani. As-sawani refers to animals with weeds. Alright, in the olden days, that was their own way of doing irrigation. Okay, dry season farming is done by you take donkeys or camels or cows with weeds. Alright, so that you fetch water on it and it will be passing through the ridge inside the farm and there will be pouring water on the farm. So because of this effort, the Sharia decided to reduce the what is to be given out. So for Ofima, Sukiya Bisawani, animals with on weeds, how another which we say is irrigation, needs full allocation. We'll pay 1/3. Now, you give out 1/3. So that is the zakat. That's the quantity to give out when your farm produce is up to the nikah. Now, the next hadith. وعن أبي موسى العشعري ومعاذ رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لهما. They said the Prophet said to them, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari and Mu'adh, the Prophet said to them, when he sent them out to collect zakat from farmers, he said to them, لا تأخذا في الصدقة, do not take zakat, إلا من هذه الأصناف الأربع, except from these four categories. Don't take zakat except from these four categories. Prophet now said, Ash-Sha'ir. Ash-Sha'ir is Bali. Alright, it is called Bali. والحنطة. حنطة is wheat. Okay. والزبيب. Zabib is dry grapes. Alright. In English language they call it rice bean. Okay. You know grapes. Oh. Now when you dry it, it becomes smallish. They call it zabib. Alright. Dry grapes. What tamar? Tamar is dry bean. Alright. Not the dry one. The dry bean. Like the ones we have here. Yeah. Alright. The dry bean. Okay. So the following hadith are the items that you take zakat for. رواه الطبراني والحاكم. تصفر من طبراني عن حاكم. It says والدار كتني. In the person of Imam Dar Kutni and Mu'adh. From Mu'adh. قال the Prophet said. Okay, Mu'adh said. فأما الكفاء. Alright, Mu'adh bin Jabal said. فأما الكفاء. As for cucumber. الكفاء is what? Cucumber. والبطيخ. بطيخ is watermelon. والرومان. رومان is pomegranate. That's what's called rumman. It's a type of fruit also. Wal-qasab. Al-qasab is sugarcane. Okay? Muslim Jabbar said, as for this item, فَفَدِ عَفَىٰ أَنْهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَىٰهُ وَسَلَىٰهُ The Prophet ﷺ has exempted them from zakat. So, وَجْنَادُهُ ضَعِيمُ The chain of transmission of this is weak. However, the meaning is correct. Like we said, there is no zakat on perishable items. So all these are perishable items. Watermelon, cucumber, you know, sugarcane, all these are perishable. You cannot store them for a very long time. So there is no zakat on them. So this hadith, scholars differ in the interpretation of this hadith. That's the previous one. When he said, do not take zakat except from these four categories. Does it mean that zakat is restricted to just these four items? Okay, majority of scholars have the opinion that the Prophet mentioned this item as an example, alright, as an example for them to know what type of food item to collect zakat from, which we said must be staple food that you consume, it must be measurable, alright, measurable in wudu, alright, that it must be possible for you to store it for a very long time, you can dry it and store for a very long time. So you see all these qualities are applicable in these items that were mentioned by the Prophet. So scholars are saying that even the items that were not mentioned here, zakat applies to them. Okay, so that's why rice was not mentioned here, yes, there is zakat on rice. Alright, beans was not mentioned, there is zakat on it, maize, guinea corn, millet and what have you. Okay, why some other scholars say that the zakat is restricted to just these four items? So then any other thing that goes zakat on it, well, this is a very weak opinion. Okay, this is a very weak opinion. Otherwise, house in Nigeria, I'm not going to give zakat, isn't it? So that's why we cannot say that zakat is restricted to just these four items. Okay, so those are the guidelines that we mentioned. Okay, food that we consume, measurable in wudu, you can dry it and store for a very long time, then it must be up to the nisab. Alright, it must be up to the nisab. When you get to the nisab, what you're going to give out, what you're going to give out is 1/10 inch of water by rain or 1/20 inch of water by irrigation. So that explains the term for found fruit. Now, the next hadith. وعن سهل بن أبي حاتم رضي الله تعالى عنه قال He said, أمرنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Prophet commanded us, إذا فرضتم, the Prophet said, this man also is among those who usually send out to farmers to collect their zakat. The Prophet said to them, إذا فرضتم, when you assess the farm, when you assess the farm produce and estimate it, الخرص means to assess and estimate the quantity of an item. So the Prophet said, إذا فرضتم, when you assess the farm produce, فخذوا, take the zakat, ودعوا الثلث, leave one third for the farm and itself. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَدَعُوا أَثُلُثُ If you don't leave one third, فَدَعُوا أَرُبَعَ Leave at least one fourth for the farmer. رَوَهُ الْخَمْسَ إِلَّا إِبْنُ مَجَهِ It was reported by the five narrators except, five reporters except Ibn Majah. وَصَحَّحَهُ Ibn Hibban وَالْحَاكِمْ Imam Ibn Hibban and Hakim graded this hadith as authentic. What this hadith is saying is this. When one is collecting the zakat, usually under the Islamic State, we explained previously that under the Islamic State, the leader of the Muslims usually send people to go to the villages where there are farms to collect the zakat. Also send people to meet the those who rear cattle to collect their zakat as well. Now, when they are going, you know, usually when they collect the zakat, they are going to gather everything. They are going to bring back everything to the state treasury. Alright, the state will now be in charge of distributing to whoever is in need. However, it may be that the farmer himself, after harvesting, he has neighbors, isn't it? He has relatives that he will wish that he give them part of his zakat. Do you understand? So it will not be fair to collect everything from him for zakat and then take it to the state treasury, which will now be given to maybe people that he doesn't even know. Do you understand? That is why the Sharia now says no. When you are taking this zakat, okay, let's say like we have been using 50 bucks as an example. He has invested 50 bucks and he's going to pay 110, which is 5 bucks. When you take that 110, which is 5 bucks, the Prophet is saying that divide it into 3 again. Alright, and leave one thought for him. Let him also decide who he wants to give that part to. Do you understand? He can give it to his neighbors, he can give it to his relatives, he can give it to anybody he likes. Okay, instead of collecting the entire 5 bucks, taking it to the state treasury, which will not be distributed to people that he doesn't know. So that's what the Sharia is saying here. So the Sharia is saying that when the person comes to collect the zakat, he should collect the amount that is due, then divide it into 3. And give the farmer 1/3, then take 2/3. Or divide it into 4. Give the farmer 1/4 and take what? And take 3/4. Okay, so that is what the Sharia is saying in this. So this is because the Sharia also considers the farmer, gives him the opportunity to also give people that he wants, okay, part of his zakat. So that's the meaning of the hadith. وعن عتاب بن عتيب رضي الله تعالى عنه قال إذا أمر الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم بكفر commanded أن يخرص العنب. The Prophet said they should value and assess and estimate grape. Al-inab is grape, which he said, you know, when it is fresh, it is grape. The zakat will be due when it becomes dry, and it is now called zadi or rising in English language. Okay, now so he said يخرص العنب كما يخرص النخل. Alright, grape should be assessed and estimated just the way palm frond, alright, palm tree, what is nakhal, that is the date tree, a palm tree is also assessed and estimated. So what do khadu zakatuhu zahiban, alright, the zakat for the grape will be taken as zahib, which is dry grape, that is zahib, okay, so it is not the fresh grape that will be given out, what will be given out is dry grape, just like the date itself. When it is harvested, it is not the fresh date that is given out. What is given out is a tamar, which is dry date. Okay? So the same thing applies to al-inab. The same thing also applies to al-inab. So rawahu al-khamsa, it was reported by the 5 reporters. Wafihi inqifa. In this hadith, the hadith is munqati, meaning there is a break in the chain of transmission. The hadith, by according to scholars of hadith, the hadith is mursal. Alright, it's mursal. We said hadith mursal is the hadith that a tabi'i narrates from the Prophet. A tabi'i cannot narrate from the Prophet because he did not see the Prophet. He's supposed to narrate from the companion, then the companion will narrate from the Prophet. So this hadith was actually reported by Sa'id bin Musayyib. Sa'id bin Musayyib is a tabi'i. Alright, and he did not meet Attab ibn Asid. Attab ibn Asid is a companion, but Sa'id bin Musayyib did not meet him. Okay, so it's just as if he is reporting directly from the Prophet. That's why the hadith is Muqati. Okay, now. So that's why the hadith is Muqati. Attab ibn Asid, this is a companion. He died on the same day with Abu Bakr. This man died the same day Abu Bakr Siddiq died. No. The next hadith. وعن عمرو بن شعيب عن أبيه عن جده. Amr ibn Shahab reported from his father reported from his grandfather. Anna imra'atan atat an-Nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ma'aha ibnatun laha. Okay, we are through with the hadith, a hadith on farm produce. We are still going back to gold now. Okay? Anna imra'atan atat an-Nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ma'aha ibnatun laha. A woman came to the Prophet and she was with her daughter. Wa fi yadi ibnatiha masakatani min dhahab. In the hand of her daughter, there were 2 bangles of gold. Alright? Not the woman, her partner. It is her daughter that was putting on 2 bangles of gold. Masakatani min dhahab. 2 bangles of gold. Faqala laha. The Prophet now said to the woman, atu'tina zakata hadha? Do you give us zakat for this? That's for the bangles in your daughter's hand. Qalat la. She said no. Qala, the Prophet said to her, أَيَسُرُّكِ أَنْ يُصَوِّرَكِ اللَّهُ بِهِمَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ سِوَارَيْنِ مِنْ نَارِ. Will you be pleased that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replace them with 2 bangles of hellfire on day of judgment for you? When she had this statement from the Prophet, he said, فَأَلْقَتْهُمَا. So she removed the bangles from her daughter's hand and threw them away. رواه الثلاثة تصفر by 3 reporters وإسناده قوي. Ibn Hajar said the chain of transmission of this hadith is strong. وصححه الحاكم من حديث عائشة. إمام حاكم greater than as-sahih from the hadith of عائشة. If you remember what we were discussing at the beginning of the book on zakat, we mentioned a hadith where the Prophet said, ليس على المسلم في عبده ولا فرته صدقة. Right, the Prophet said there is no zakat on himself or a person concerning his slave and his horse. While I was discussing that hadith, I said that hadith indicates that any wealth, any item which is for personal use, there is no zakat on them. Do you remember that?
No.
So I said there's no zakat on your private car. Alright? We said zakat is 15.5 million. If you are driving a car of 40 million naira, so long that it's for your private use, you don't have to pay zakat. If you are living in a house of 100 million naira, alright? Since it's your private house that you live in, there's no zakat. Based on that hadith, God said there's no hadith on your house, there's no hadith on your slave that is serving you at home. So based on that, some scholars extend that hadith to cover gold ornaments used by women, necklace, their bangles, or like their earrings that are made from gold. Scholars, some scholars will have opinion that since those items are also for their personal use, for beautification, there shall be no zakat on them. While other scholars say no, okay, even if the bangles or the earrings, the necklace is for personal use, even if it's for beautification, there still will be zakat on it, so long as it is up to the required gram. We said the mitzvah for gold is about 85 grams. So if a woman weighs her necklace from those that are selling it and it's up to 85 grams, then she has to give zakat on it. Alright, if she weighs her earring or combine it together, the earring, the bangles, the ring, the necklace, everything together is up to 85 or 100 grams, then she has to pay zakat. What is the basis for that opinion? It is this hadith. Alright, this hadith. But this hadith here indicates that this lady was putting on the gold bangles on her daughter for beautification, isn't it? Yet the Prophet is asking her, is there zakat on it? Does she pay zakat for it? She said no. The Prophet said that Allah will replace it for you with two bangles of hellfire. Alright, two bangles from hellfire. So based on this, other scholars like Sheikh Uthaymeen and others have the opinion that there is zakat on gold ornaments of women, so long as it is up to the nisab. So it's a contentious matter among scholars. Alright, it's a contentious matter among scholars. Those other scholars who do not agree, they tend to weaken this hadith. Alright, even though Ibn Hajar says or Ibn Adul-Qawi, some other scholars of hadith have argued that this hadith is weak. Alright, they argue that this hadith is weak, and others argue that the hadith does not even indicate whether the gold bangles on you, on the daughter, is up to the nisab or not. Alright, but there is a version, there is a narration that says, Masakatani Zalizatani, two heavy gold bangles. Alright, there is a version like that. Masakatani Zalizatani, alright, two heavy gold bangles. So if it is heavy, scholars say that will indicate that it is up to the nisab. Alright, alakul hal, like I said, it's a very contentious matter. I do advise women, if they can give the zakat, it's better. Alright, not to be free from any doubt. Alright, any doubt. Right? Always try to be on the safer side. Always try to be on the safer side. So, if a woman has gold that is up to that, she should give out the zakat for it. To be on the safer side. Allahu a'lam. وعن أم سلمة رضي الله تعالى عنها أم سلمة رواه عن الفقهاء قال بجوزها أنها كانت تلبس أوضاحا من ذهب. She said she used to put on some ornament, right? Ornament. It could be bangles, it could be necklace, whatever. Ornament made from gold. فقالت. She now said to the Prophet, يا رسول الله. She's asking, O Messenger of Allah, أكنز هو. Will these ornaments that I'm putting on, will they be considered as treasure which zakat are not paid on it? She mentioned kanzun, alright, because in the Quran, Allah SWT said in one of the verses, وَالَّذِينَ يَكْنِزُونَ الذَّهَبَ وَالْفِضَّةِ وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَهَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَبَشِّرُهُمْ بِعَذَابِ الْأَلِيمِ. Allah says, those who hoard gold and silver without giving out zakat on them, Allah says, give them a glad tidings of a very painful torment. Alright, so Allah used the word yaknizuna, that is kanz, treasure that you keep without paying zakat on it. Okay, treasure of gold and silver that you don't pay zakat on it. If you do that, the punishment is very severe, because in those verses Allah says, يَوْمَ يُقْمَ عَلَيْهَا فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمَ. Alright, the painful torment, punishment is that, on the day of judgment, those ornaments, those gold and silver will be what? And they will be melted. Alright?
يحمى عليها في نار جهنم فتقوى بها جباههم وجنوبهم وظهورهم. When they melt it, they will now use it to brand what? Their forehead, the sides of their body, and their back. Alright? And it will be said to them, هذا ما كنستم لأنفسكم. This is what you have hoarded for yourself. فذوقوا ما كنتم تكنزون. So this is the punishment of what you have hoarded. Alright, so if a person is hoarding gold and silver and not giving out zakat on it, there's a very severe punishment on it on the day of judgment. That is why Umm Salma is asking the Prophet, Akamdun hada, is this considered part of treasure that zakat is not paid on it? For Allah, the Prophet said to her, إِذَا أَدَّيْتِ زَكَاتَهُ فَلَيْسَ بِكَلْمِ. If you give zakat for it, then it will not be considered as a treasure. رواه أبو داود ودار القطني وصححه الحديث. So based on this hadith also, those scholars who are of the opinion that a woman must give out zakat for her ornament, they rely on this hadith as well. Okay, so these are the two hadiths that they rely upon. Like we said, it's a contentious matter. To be on the safer side, we advise our women to give out zakat on their ornament. Allahu ta'ala a'lam. وعن ثمرة بن جندب رضي الله تعالى عنه قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يأمرنا أن نخرج الصدقة من الذي نعده للبيت. That the Messenger of Allah used to command us to give us zakat for that which we prepare for sale. Alright, what we prepare for sale. This hadith is indicating zakat for items that you sell. Okay, items that you sell. So if you have a shop and you are selling items, okay, and the cumulative value of the item reaches the nisab of money, okay, then you have to give us zakat on it. We understand. Now, you have to give us. So if you have a supermarket, for instance, you are selling different items, alright, in it, and the cumulative value of what is in your shop is up to, we said the nisab is 15.5 million, isn't it? Mm. So if it's up to that nisab, and 1 year has passed on it, alright, you calculate the total value of what is in the shop as at the end of the year, okay? Then you divide it over 40 and give out zakat on it, okay? This is what we call zakatu urudu tijara, alright, zakat for items that you trade in. Okay, zakat for items that you trade. So that's how to give the zakat. So if you have a shop, alright, at the end of, once you know that the cumulative value of what's in the market is up to the nisab, alright, and so by the end of the year, you calculate everything and then you give out 1/40 as zakat. So that is the basis of that. Can we round up this chapter or is that Mishubah? Can round up? You see, we have just 3 more hadith. Alright, let's just conclude. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال The Prophet said وفي الركاز الخمس وفي الركاز الخمس The Prophet said concerning a ركاز is treasures that were buried in the ground. Alright, when we say ركاز it means treasures of the people of Jahiliya or treasures of the Kuffar. Okay, you know, in those olden days. Alright, you may sometimes when the Muslims conquer the Kuffar and they take over their land, okay, you might find that some of the Kuffar, because they want the Muslims to benefit from their items, some will dig ground and bury some of their items in it. You understand? So it will be there like that for donkey years. One day somebody maybe they want to dig well. In the process of digging the well, you will go and see necklace of gold in it, for instance. Alright, and you will see sign that this thing belongs to maybe the previous king that ruled this place. Doesn't the Jahiliya before the place was taken over by the Muslims. You understand? So Al-Kanz refer to buried treasures of the Kuffar. Alright? Yeah. So whenever anybody perchance finds such a treasure inside the ground, maybe silver, maybe gold or whatever, okay, something of value, then you have to give zakat on it. Okay? Yeah. How do you give zakat on it? You are going to assess the value of it, okay? Then you divide it by 5. Before say al-khumus, 1/5. So that's what you're going to give us as al-zakat. Do we understand? No. So you assess it, you know the value, then you give us 1/5 of it as zakat. وعن عمرو بن سعيد عن أبيه عن جده أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال The Prophet said, في كنز وجده رجل في خريبة. The Prophet said concerning kanz, meaning treasure, that was found by a person in a ruined land. a land that has been abandoned, nobody is staying there again. Maybe one forest that nobody stays there, it's ruined, nobody, it's not inhabited by anybody. So if something takes you there and you now find a treasure there. Now the Prophet said, إِنْ وَجَدْتَهُ فِي قَرْيَةٍ مَسْكُونَةٍ فَعَرِّكْهَا فَعَرِّكْهُ. If you find that treasure in a village, مَسْكُونَةٍ, that inhabited by people, alright, then فَعَرِّكْهُ, then you have to announce. You have to announce and look for the owner. You have to announce and look for the owner of that treasure. وَإِنْ وَجَدْتَهُ فِي قَرْيَةٍ غَيْرِ مَسْكُونَةٍ. But if you find it in a village or town, غَيْرِ مَسْكُونَةٍ, that is not inhabited by people, فَفِيهِ وَفِي الرِّكَازِ الْغُمُ, then in it, or on it, and in other, in all other types of treasure of this type, then you pay 1/5. أَخْرَجَهُ ابْنُ مَاجَةَ بِإِسْنَادِ حَسَنٍ. So what this means is that if the place you found the treasure is inhabited by people, okay, then it means that it must be an item that was misplaced by one of the people living in that town. And what the Prophet said, for a people, you should announce. So in this case now, it will not be treated as a buried treasure that you find, it becomes your own. No. Alright? You are going to give it the ruling of a lost item. That's why it says, for a people, announce. Alright? And we have explained, I don't know, I think we have explained here before, alright, that when you find a lost item, how do you announce? You are supposed to announce it for 1 year. Isn't it? Yes, you are supposed to announce it for 1 year. So let's say, for the first week, isn't it? You announce every day. That's the view of many scholars. You announce every day for the first week. Then after 1 week, you now announce once in a week for 1 month, isn't it? Then after 1 month, you now announce once in a month for 1 year. After that, if nobody comes, then it becomes your own. Okay? It becomes your own. But we said if one day somebody teach you of one day on my own, you will speak to me. Alright? So that is the ruling concern a local town, that is lost item. So if where you found the treasure is inhabited by people, then it will take the ruling of lost item. But if it's in a ruin and abandoned land, nobody is there, okay, that's why now take the ruling of buried treasure. And we said you are going to give out 1/5 al khumus. Then the last hadith, وعن بلال بن الحارث رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أخذ من المعادن القبلية صدقة. So the Prophet collected zakat for minerals, minerals of Al-Qabaliyah. Al-Qabaliyah is the town between Makkah and Medina in those days. So they used to have mine, mineral resources in those areas. The Prophet collected zakat on their mineral resources. Wow, Abu Dawud. So based on this hadith, some scholars have found that there is zakat on mineral resources. Alright, there is zakat on mineral resources. So when you dig iron, like on the ground, you bring iron or copper or brass or gold or silver, any mineral resources you find on the ground, there is supposed to be zakat on them. Right? There is supposed to be zakat on them. In Nigeria, you cannot do that because mineral resources, according to law, belong to the government. Isn't it? So they cannot do that. To find the mineral resources, you are supposed to report to the government. That's what Nigeria says. Allah Ta'ala, Allah will stop ya. أقول ما تسمعون. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت. أستغفرك إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Wakan Tairin Iridina
Thank you.
Now, as for the question, so if we said if the farm was watered by rain, you are going to give 1/10. If it was watered by irrigation, you are going to give 1/20. Now, there are situations whereby it is a combination of both. All right. First, we look at which one is more. Okay. If it, most of the watering was by rain, it just few irrigation, then it will take the meaning of rain. Alright? If most of it was by irrigation, just few rain, then it will take the meaning of irrigation. Where it is half-half, alright? Where it is half-half, so let's say you give 3/4 of 1/10. 3/4 of 1/10 is like 1/2 of 1/10, 1/2 of 1/20. You understand? So that would be 3/4 of 1/10. How do you do that? Meaning when you harvest, you divide everything into 10. Right, you take 1/10. That 1/10, you divide it into 4. Here is one, and give 3/4. That's 3/4 of 1/10. Then for gold, like we said, to be on the safer side, it's better our sisters, our women give us the tax on their ornament. Right, even though, like I said, it's a contentious matter, but to be on the safer side, they should give us the tax instead of that. Those who build houses with gold, what they are doing is haram. It's haram. Nobody should build house with gold. That's extravagant. Alright. We mentioned before, alright, that we are not expected to eat or drink in gold utensils, isn't it? So if the Sharia say you should not eat in gold plate, this was the Sharia not permitted to not build your house with gold. Do you understand? It's wrong. What they are doing is wrong. It's wrong. That's extravagant. Israel does not permit that. So that is wrong. But like I said, gold for ornaments which women are using, even though it is their personal use, because of these two hadiths, you know, there is a specific hadith on it. That's where the issue is. Alright? We mentioned two hadiths. Do you remember? So because of those hadiths, that's why scholars are saying that they should give us the tax. Alright? They should give us the tax. So they should give us the tax. It's better. Alright? To be on the safer side. Lost item, no. Land. Like I said, let us be careful with this issue of treasure. Alright? We said treasure and kind, alright, are buried items of the people of Jahiliyyah, of the Kufar. Alright? When you bring out those items, you will see sign on it, indicating that this is an historical artifact. Alright, whatever I said that belongs to people of the old and things like that. So if it is that type, okay, the treasure now belongs to the person who bought the land. The land has been transferred to him, so he's the one in possession, not the person who sold it. You get this? So it's the person who is in possession of the land now that will own, that will claim it. Alright, that will claim it. Likewise, supposing it's your land now, you now brought somebody to come and dig well for you. And at the beginning, you now found it. Who own it? Is it you that own that or him that is digging it? So it's my own, I know like that. So it's you that own it, not the person that is working on it. So like that. Now. to sell.
Now,
it's the money. Alright, you're not going to give out zakat from the item. Alright, let's say you are selling provision, you have cosmetics and whatever. So when you value it and everything together is, let's say, 30 million. Alright, it's not that you're going to now select item of what item and give out. No, alright, you give out one over 40 or 31 in money. Alright, give out to those who are entitled to zakat. So it's money, it's the value you give out, not the item. Hello, Salaman. As the price is silver. Silver, we said there is zakat on silver. If it is up to the nisab. Alright? If it is up to the nisab. It's valuable for men to wear silver. Alright, not gold. Okay? So if your silver is up to the nisab, if the weight is up to 595 grams, alright, if it's up to 595 grams, then you give us zakat. Okay? The zakat for that, we now look at the nisab for silver. Alright, last time I told you the nisab for silver is around 1.2 million. It's not as expensive as gold. Alright, I think I wrote this in my book, I'm telling you. Last time I told you, at the 3rd of June, alright, the nisab for silver was 1,939,000. Alright, so this is the nisab. So, that's the threshold. Alright, that's the threshold. So if the weight of your silver ring for your chain or for your watch or whatever you have that's for silver, if it's up to 595 grams, you have an abu. Alright, once it's up to that 595 grams and abu, what you do is to ask the people to value it, how much will it cost. Alright, but that's the value to see that it is up to this amount that we just mentioned. Alright, so you have this amount and abu. So you decide to report it and give out what I thought to ask the card. Do you understand?
Every
year that we need the card? Yes, every year. The card is annual. It's annual. The card every year. Yes. Alaykum salam. Two categories of? He believes in his obligation, but he says he will not give. Yes, he will give up for the zakat for those previous years as well. It's a debt on him, and he has to pay. Okay, so you calculate everything and give it up. Obligation for me. Now. There are asar that the Prophet gave number to hundreds. Like La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah, lahul mulk wa lahul hamd, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. The Prophet said that in a day, if you say this zikr 100 times, alright, you have certain reward. Alright, you have certain reward, like somebody who flees 10 slaves. You have reward of so, you have 100 reward, 100 things will be wiped away, you know, shaitan will be preserved from shaitan, and like that, very long hadith like that. So, in that hadith, it mentioned 100 times. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. So, a person makes that to hold that bar because he wants to count 100. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. And the Prophet in that hadith said that nobody will have your type of reward for that day except somebody who does more than that. Alright? So somebody may say, okay, I want to have more than that. I want to do 200, for instance. or $2. If you do one salat, you Allah will do 10 for you. Alright, if you do 10, Allah will do 100 for you, like that. So it is good to count, you know. And the Prophet in one of the hadith, he said, I used to do 70 istighfar a day. Another hadith said, I used to do 100 istighfar a day. So you may start to count 100 istighfar, alright, or count 70 istighfar. And you may choose to do 1 million istighfar. Like our people say, you don't do 1 million. Ria, you are not in his mind. Alright, we cannot just look at someone and say what you are doing is Ria. Alright, Ria is in the mind. Alright, so if a person in his mind is not doing Ria, we cannot say he's doing Ria. It's only Allah knows, Allah that knows who is doing Ria and who is not doing Ria. You understand? If it's someone that is doing hard, they can be doing Ria. You understand? So Ria is in the mind. We are not allowed to judge people's minds. Alright, it is Allah who judges people's intentions.
I cannot say that because it's only the boy is doing Ria.
It may be sincere in what he says. Last question.
Ahead.
That. In that hadith of Al-Abbas, alright, in that hadith of Al-Abbas, where he sought permission of the Prophet to give up his zakat before its due date. In our narration, it was reported that Al-Abbas gave up zakat for 2 years. Alright, he gave up zakat for 2 years. So based on that, some scholars say that the maximum is 2 years. That was what he sought for and that was what the Prophet permitted him to do. Okay, so it should not go beyond 2 years. Alright, so that is the maximum. Now, Allahu A'lam. May Allah give us knowledge. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.